Today's Shi'ur Masechta Erev and Daf Tzadik Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud, two lines from the bottom. Amalei Rava Labaya. Abaya had made a statement in our previous Shi'ur that, based on the way our Gemara is teaching us, having a mechitza between two different areas creates an isser, creates an isser for carrying. And Abaya's question was that typically throughout Halacha we have found just the opposite, that a mechitza creates a separation, a valid wall, and a heter. So ask the Gemara, Amalei Rava Labaya, is that true? V'loy metzina mechitza l'isser? Have we never discovered an area where having a mechitza creates an isser? V'itmar, haven't we learned this halacha? We've discussed this halacha many times. Sichecha gabi esadra. If you have an exadra, which is a pavilion in front of the houses, typically those pavilions had two walls, as is shown in diagram 329 in the Sefer Hamor Hamavur. Sicha gabe chsadra sheesh lepitzimim, and you have these two walls, and then you have boards sticking out on the two sides. So now you have a kosher sukkah. Now, continues the Braisa, however, vilu hishva pitzimel, if we take diagram 330, and what happened here is they filled up the area behind these boards with beams. So I've now added a mechitza. But what I've also done is I no longer have, as we had in diagram 329, boards sticking out, that those boards that are sticking out should be considered a wall. Now we no longer have such boards sticking out that should be considered a wall. And therefore, this is an area in diagram 330, which is considered a sukkah of only two walls. And a sukkah of two walls is not a kosher sukkah. So you see that making a wall did create that something which was a good wall is no longer a good wall. Amalei, Abai Lididi, Sherihi. I really hold that this sukkah is a kosher sukkah, because I hold that we take the roof that's on top of this wall and we say Pi Tikri Yair V'Soysom. And Pi Tikri Yair V'Soysom brings down two more walls. And if it brings down two more walls, we have a perfectly kosher sukkah. That's actually, says Abaya, my opinion. Lididach, you obviously don't agree with me, and you say that this is still considered a sukkah of only two walls. And of course, as we said a moment ago, a sukkah of only two walls is not a kosher sukkah. But even though it's not a kosher sukkah, what happened here wasn't the addition of a mechitza which created the problem. What created the problem over here was that we took away the mechitza. When we started off with just those two boards, they were halachically considered a fantastic wall. Now by adding these boards, so what we've done is we've created that we have more of a, that we've taken away the mechitza. I'm speaking that making a mechitza should cause problems. Removing a mechitza, as we've had in the previous year, and we'll have it again, certainly I agree, can cause halachic problems. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rava Barachana Labaya. V'loi metzina mechitza l'isser. I'll show you another situation where mechitza could create isser. V'tanya. When you have a home that has, half of it has a roof over it, and half of it does not. Gefanim kan, you have grapevines under the part that has a roof. Mutal is roi kan. You, under the other side, you could put vegetables. We discussed in our previous year the concern of kalei akerem. This is not considered kalei akerem, because we apply the concept of Pi Tikri Yair V'Soysom. But even though we're applying the concept of Pi Tikri Yair, so we're applying the concept of Pi Tikri Yair V'Soysom, and it divides this room into half. And since it divides it into half, so each half is a separate area, and we could plant on one half this and one hand the other. But what would happen now, he says, V'ilu Hishvis Kriyav, if we went and took that roof, which was only covering half of the room, and now had it cover the entire room. Then the halacha is, we don't have anything separating this into two rooms. When we don't have anything separating it into two rooms, the halacha will be that you can't plant, two different types of species on the two sides. So you see again, ask the Gemara, that making a mechitza makes an iser. Amalei says the Gemara, that's not called silik, that's not called making mechitza. Hasam, again, the Gemara says the same teretz. Hasam, it's considered hasam silik mechitzas. You had a mechitza, and now by expanding it, it's making it into, you're taking it away. Of course, taking it away is certainly considered an issue. Our Gemara just spoke about planting inside the house. So, as we certainly are well aware, the halacha in many situations speaks about different situations of planting, and that could be usur. As we've been speaking about the last two shiurim, there's kale akerim, there's kale hazera, there's of course shmita, and there's trumas and maestris. All of these are different halachas that are connected to something being planted on the ground. So the question is, if I plant something in a house, do these various halachas apply? Do some of them apply? Do none of them apply? Do all of them apply? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zatzal, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Micha Shlomo Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Aleph, discusses this. And he quotes that the opinion of the Rambam seems to be that the Isser of Klayim applies under all circumstances. Wherever you plant it, it's also to have klayim. And therefore, but on the other hand, he points out that the Torah says satcha. Satcha seems to mean outside in the field. Only there is there an issur klayim. On the other hand, we learn our Gemara. Our Gemara clearly spoke about planting klayim in the house. And our Gemara said under what circumstances you may, under what circumstances you may not. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, when we speak about Trumas and Maestris, where the Pasuk says clearly, Hayotze Asada, Shana Shana, something that grows within the house is not subject to Trumas and Maestris. The same thing he says applies to Shemitah. Something that grows in the home doesn't have Hilchos Shemitah. However, when we speak about Klayim, as is clearly indicated in our Gemara, the halacha of klayim applies not just to what grows out in the field, but also what grows inside the house is subject to hilchos klayim. Shalchei Rava Labaya. So Rava asked Abaya, he sent him the following question, B'yad Rav Shmai Barziri. Rav Shmai Barziri was the messenger to carry this question. L'metzina mechitza l'iser. Again, the same question. Is that true that we never find that a mechitza could create iser? Ask the Gemara, Vatanya. The Braisa teaches us, again, subject to the halachas of klayim. Yesh b'mechitzas akerem l'hokal l'hachar. Sometimes mechitzas in a kerem could create a kula, and sometimes they could create a chumra. And the Braisa explains itself. Ketzad, kerem hanatua adik mechitza. If you have a vineyard that's planted until the wall, the vineyard is going straight up to the wall. Zorei me'ikah mechitza ve'elech. On the other side of the wall, you could plant a different type of species, even though you have a very minimal separation. Ilu ain't sha mechitza, where were there no mechitza, marchek arba amis v'zareya. You would have to distance the two species by dalar amis. So what has the mechitza accomplished? The mechitza has created a kula. V'zeu mechitza sakaram l'hokal. This is an example where a mechitza creates a kula. L'hach mechitzat, where do we see a chumra? If there's an empty space from the wall of 11 amah, you can't bring a different type of species there. Were there no wall, it would be enough to be machak aba amis v'zareya. You would only have to distance from the vineyard 4 amis to plant. Bezui, and because there is, and the Bryce is going to explain itself in a moment. Bezui, and this is a circumstance where the mechitzas create a chumra. Amalei, so Abaye responds, "Utameich, oisrim masnisin." If you're asking this type of question, kam tzabayer, you could have asked from a Mishnah. The Mishnah, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Klein, Perek Dad, Mishnah Beis, Aleph and Beis, speaks about a karachas akerim, an empty space in the middle of a vineyard. Beshamay Amrim, to be, if you have an empty space in a vineyard, how large must that empty space be that you should be able to bring another type of species there? Esrim v'arba'ama. Beisil Amrim, and Beisil opinion is Sheish Esrim Amma. And as Rashi Divrei Maskil Oysim points out, the question the Gemara is about to pose is essentially the same question that we just asked from the Braisa. But throughout Shas, whenever we have a question, whenever there is a question to be asked, a question that's asked from a Mishnah is considered a much stronger question than a question that's asked from a Braisa. Then we speak about Machal HaKerem, the area around the vineyard. So there, Beis Shammai says Sheish Esrei Amma. You have to have a distance of 16 amma to be able to put in another type of species. Or Beis Hillel, Shteim Esrei Amma, 12 ammas is enough. So explains itself. The Mishnah explains itself. Eizek Karachas Akerem, Kerev Shechar B'Mtziyosi. When you have a vineyard that has an empty space, that has an empty space in the middle, as is shown in diagram 331. You can't plant anything. If you don't have an empty space of 16 amma, you may not bring a different species there. Why? Because since you have different trees planted around this empty area, so you have to have 4 ammas available around the trees that you have. Because whenever you have a tree, the halacha is you need to give 4 ammas next to the tree for somebody who's going to be working on this tree to be able to stand and work and have room. So you already have 4 ammas. So that's already 4 on each side of this empty space. Now, if you have afterwards another 8 amma, so we could divide that 8 amma into 2, 4 and 4, which is the size of a decent amount of a field, so now, which equals 16. So now you could say that you could bring another field. But if not, so therefore, Hayusham Sheishes Rama, Noisin Loi, Kedei Vidasoi, we give the 4 amma next to the tree, Vizereyas Amoiser, and you plant the extra. So this Mishnah just explained the opinion of Beis Hillel, who said that the Karachas HaKerem is 16 amma. As the Mishnah also said, you have to have, according to Beis Shammai, you have to have 24 amma. And Rashi gives, this is all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, Divrei HaMaskil V'Im, gives 2 ways of explaining Beis Shammai's opinion. One opinion is that they hold that a field has to be 8 ammas and 8 ammas, not like Beis Shammai. So therefore, if each field has to be 8, so you have to have 8 plus 8 is 16. Then you have to have 4 for the area next to the tree from both sides is another 4 plus 4. So you have 8 plus 8 plus 4 plus 4 is 24. That's one way Rashi said we could understand the opinion of Beis Shammai. Another way of understanding Beis Shammai's opinion is that not that the field has to be 8 plus 8 for a total of 16. They're going to agree with Beis Shammai that has to be 4 plus 4 for a total of 8. But unlike Beis Hillel, who said that the amount of room you need to have next to the tree to give you room to work on those existing trees is 4 ammas, they're going to hold that each existing tree area has to have 8 ammas. So then you're going to have 8 plus 8 for the area next to the tree, and then another 8 for the new field to give you a total of 24. Zui continues the Mishnah. Ve'ezu machal kerem. What is considered a machal kerem? Ben kerem legeder. When you want to be able to plant a different species between the vineyard and the gate that's around your field. Im ein shom she esrei amma. If you don't have 12 amma lo yavi zer l'sham, you may not bring a different type of species. Ho yisham shtei masra amra. But if you have 12 amma, noisin lo kidei avadasai, then you plant. First, you have to give 4 amma, as we just finished discussing, that you have to give 4 amma for them to be able to plant next to the existing trees. And we saw you have to give 4 ammas next to the existing tree. And then you have to have another 8 amah for the new field, because as we just learned, according to Beis Hillel, if you don't have 8 amahs, that cannot be considered a new field. And therefore, if you have 8 plus 4, the Zayrus HaMaisa, you could plant there. If you don't have 8 plus 4, you can't plant there. So what do we see? That when we learned the halacha that we just discussed, a machla kerem, the machl that's around the kerem makes us be machmer in Hilchas Kalei Kerem. So the question is, how did Abayis state that a mechitza never makes a chumra? We just gave an example where mechitza makes a chumra. El hasam lavaynatama has nothing to do with the mechitza. The kol abba amos legabe kerem lavoydes kerem. The area 4 amos next to the kerem has to be left over, as we've been explaining. Legabe geder, the area next to the wall, kivin delam starin, that's not an area people plant anything new. Why don't they plant anything new? Because they don't want to get that close to the wall. If they're going to plant next to the wall, they're going to cause the wall to get weak. So you have 4 for the kerem, 4 for the wall, and 4 for the new field. And the area next to the wall, kfkuri mafkalu, people are mafka that area. The word mhefker that's being used here is really a borrowed term. It's not that somebody's mafkarit that anybody could take ownership. What the Gemara means to say when it says the people are mafkarit, they don't plant in that area anything. So it has to be left open. So what's left? If you have 4 next to the wall and 4 next to the kerem, and Beis Hillel's opinion, as we said, that the minimum size of a field has to be 4 amos, therefore, if you're left with 4 between these two areas that we just identified, cheshivin, and therefore you could bring another type of species there. Viloy, but if you don't have 4 amos left, loy cheshivi, you are not left with a significant enough of an area that you should be allowed to bring a different type of species. That's, and again, according to Beis Shammai, says Rashi, we're going to have two ways of explaining it. One way of explaining it is that even though Beis Hillel says that 4 amos is enough to be considered a separate area, Beis Shammai is going to require 8 amos to be considered a significant area. So you're going to have 4 plus 4 for the two sides, plus 8 in the middle, 4 plus 4 plus 8 is going to be a total of 16. That way, or Beis Shammai will agree that 4 is enough in the middle. But you have to have a bigger area on the two sides, on the two sides of the wall, on the two sides of the wall to be able to give the adequate space. Says the Gemara, we learned in our previous year, we spoke about the Yurei Gedoyla Bektana, the people of the, when you have two areas that are adjoining each other, we spoke about chatzeris that are adjoining each other, we spoke about gagin, roofs that are adjoining each other. Now our Gemara speaks about karfifas are adjoining each other. The first diagram that we need to pay attention to is diagram 333. But before we pay attention to that diagram, we need to remember a Gemara that we learned much earlier in our Masechta, on Daf Tezayin. And that Tazayim, we spoke about people who are left out in the field for Shabbos, and they want to enclose the area where they are to be able to carry within that enclosed area. So we learned then that if somebody makes a sturdy wall around that area with poles that go shesiv or erev vertically and horizontally, that's fantastic. That is considered an enclosed area. But let's say you made the walls around it only with vertical poles or only with horizontal poles. So even though the area is enclosed and we could be somewhat lenient in allowing you to carry there, but we learned it depends on how many people there are. If there are 3 people, then we could give you as much area as you need. If there are less than 3 people, we give each person only a sasayim, an area of 2 saw. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shloisha Kafifa Zeh B'Tzad Zeh, you have 3 of these enclosed areas, as is shown in diagram 333. V'shnayim Achitzonim Megufafim, the 2 outer areas jut out more than the middle area.
V'shnayim hachitzoynim mugufofim. V'amtzoy, and the middle area, ena mugufof, is not shutting out. Yochid b'zeh, there's an individual in one karfif. Yochid b'zeh, and there's only one individual in each karfif. Nasif, we look at this middle karfif. Nasa, we look again at the middle karfif. Kilu sheyora, we treat it as this is an area that has three people. That we said that when you have three people in an enclosed area, the halacha is that you could give them as much room as they need. Noislam kol tzarchem, we give them as much room as they need. We look at it as if it's one big enclosed area. That's how Rashi explains this Gemara. The Ritva brings a different approach, that when we're saying here Rashi says kol tzarchem is only on the middle karfif. Why? Because since the outer karfif are considered as if they're living in the smaller karfif, we go back to the concept that we discussed in our previous year, that when you have a smaller karfif, a small enclosed area, which is totally open to the bigger area, it becomes secondary to the bigger area. So the smaller karfif is considered secondary to the side karfifis, and therefore it's considered like you have three people in that middle karfif, and it could be as big as you want. The Ritva, however, learns, like I started explaining the Gemara, and that's the same opinion of the Rajba, that's not just that the middle karfif is given as much area as it needs. All of the karfifas are given as much area as you need because they're all considered one connected area. But what happens, continues the Gemara, we have a different situation where we have just the opposite. Hamtsoy megufof, and this is diagram 334. The middle one is jutting out, and the ones on the side are smaller. And you have one individual in each one of these kafefis. Every karfif will only get two saw, because we don't view this as if there are three people all together in one karfif. Because even though the middle karfif, we say, gets connected to both side karfifis, but since the middle karfif is the primary karfif, because it's the one that's jutting out, then the side karfifis are only secondary to it. And since they're only secondary to it, and in the middle karfif you only have one person, so you can't give this area the shear of as if there are three people. So now they ask in the yeshiva the following question. Echad b'zeh. You have one person in each one of the outer kafefis. V'shnayim b'karfif emtsoi. And you have two people in the middle karfif. Mahu. What will be the halacha now? And the Gemara explains what it means to ask. If we say that the people who are living in the outer kafefis are as if they're living in the middle karfif, because that's the primary karfif. So we'll look at this. If the two people in the middle go to the outer karfif, we'll have three people. And if the people will go to the other outer one, we'll have three people. And therefore, since the middle karfif is the primary karfif, so we look at the primary karfif, we look at the secondary karfif as secondary to the primary. And whoever's in the primary is also considered like he's in the secondary. So if we look at it that way, in the secondary we have one person. In the primary we have two. And 2 + 1 = 3. Because everybody who's in the bigger one, since the secondary one is secondary to it, is considered as if he's there too. And therefore I have three people. And as we keep on repeating, once we have three people, we can give you as much of an area that you need. Or perhaps an argument can be made that we have two people indeed in the middle karfif, but the way to look at that is chad lahoch nafik, one of the people in the middle are pushed to one of the kafifas on the side, v'chad lahoch nafik, and another person is pushed to the other one on the other side. Because it makes sense, says Rashi, Divrei Maskaloi, that the two people are not going to want to go both to the same karfif, because that's just going to make that karfif crowded. It makes more sense that these two people will split up. One will go to this side, and one will go to that side. Chad lahochanafik, for chad lahochanafik. If that's going to be the case, then each one of the outer karfifis, we're only going to have two people. And if we only have two people, then we can't give them as much room as they need. They will be limited to stay so. Vim Tim Tzolayma, and if one will want to argue, the chad l'hochanafik, that certainly in such a situation, the two people in the middle, one will go in one direction, and one will go in the other direction, why would be the halacha just the opposite? Shnayim b'zeh v'shnayim b'zeh, you have two people in one of the outer kafifis, shnayim b'zeh, and you have another two people in the other one of the outer kafifis, and echad b'em tsoy, and one person's in the middle kafif, mahu. What will we say here? Here we should perhaps say, if the person in the middle is going to go to the right, so there'll be three people there. And if he goes to the one to the left, also, you'll have a total of three. Or perhaps we'll say, maybe he's going to go to the right, and maybe he's going to go to the left. But I don't know where he's going to go, and he only could go in one direction. And that's why we have to be machmer. So what do we do with these different questions? Answers the Gemara, Vilch Sabai and Lakula. In both of these situations, we are makel. So the Rishash asked the question. All of the halachas that we're discussing are all the Rabbanim. And we have a rule, Sofik the Rabbanim Lakula. So why did the Gemara have to explicitly say that we go Lakula? Of course we go Lakula. So the Rishash says a very important point. He says that there's a klal that the Rambam always says. That the Rambam always says that whenever we have an Imtim Tzoloimer, we should paskin like the Imtim Tzoloimer. So here, the Gemara asked two questions. And the way the Gemara posed the questions was an Imtim Tzoloimer. If you say it will be Machmer in the first scenario, what will be the halacha in the second scenario? So even though typically when we have an Imtim Tzoloimer, we have to be Machmer, here the halacha is because it's a Shaila and Hilchas Erevin, and as we keep on learning in our Masechta, Sofik Erevin Lakula, we're always lenient when we discuss Hilchas Erevin, so we're going to be lenient in this question as well, even though it's an Imtim Tzoloimer. That's the Rishash's approach. I saw the Shem Shimon gives a different explanation. He says, when do we say Sofik Derabbanan Lakula? He says, Sofik Derabbanan Lakula is said when something happened and I don't know what to do. So the rule throughout Shas is Sofik Derabbanan Lakula, we are lenient. But we don't apply the concept of Sofik Derabbanan Lakula before the fact, if we don't know what to do, even if it's a Derabbanan, we have to be Machmer. Erevin, says the Shem Shimon, this is what he says, is what our Gemara is trying to teach us, is an exception to the rule. That not only in a situation where there's a question of what to do, are we lenient, but even before the fact, if it's a Shaila in Hilchas Erevin, says the Shem Shimon, we could always be Makel. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda. So, as we've been learning in our shir today, mechitzis are a very important part of the discussion of today's shir. So says the Gemara, if you have a situation of gidit chamisha v'mechitza chamisha, we know a mechitza always has to be 10 tefachim tall. But the way this mechitza is constructed is that one property is higher than the other property. It's higher by 5 tefachim. That's the gidud of one property over the other property. And then on top of that, you have a mechitza. And this is seen in diagram 335. So the question is, in total, I have 10 tefachim. So since in total I have 10 tefachim, is that considered a mechitza or not? Again, let's read the words of the Gemara. Gidel chamisha v'mechitza chamisha, a combination of 10, and mitzdarfim, you cannot combine them, unless you have
that one property is 10 tefachim taller than the other property, a kulav mechitza, or you have a real mechitza that's 10 tefachim bigger than the other. And there's many different explanations offered by the Rishonim why these two different types of mechitzas cannot combine. One pshat, which the Rashi and the Ritva suggest, is that the person standing here only sees a mechitza of 5 tefachim. And since he only sees here a mechitza of 5 tefachim, he's going to believe that that's all you need to have, because he doesn't realize that the ground that he's standing on is also being combined toward the mechitza. And because he doesn't realize that the ground he's standing on should be combined to the mechitza, that's why it's not a good mechitza. Rashi explains that indeed, for the person standing on the lower property, he sees a mechitza of 10 tefachim. But the problem here is not for the person on the lower property. The issue is for the person on the upper property that doesn't see 10 tefachim. The Meiri has a different approach. He says that this is halacha in Hilchas Mechitza, that in order for a mechitza to be considered halachically a valid mechitza, it has to be made out of one type. If it's not made out of one type, they cannot combine to halachically be considered a valid mechitza. The Chacham Tzvi, along the same lines, takes the following approach. He says, why Gidud is considered a valid mechitza, and why a mechitza is considered a valid mechitza, even though they serve the same purpose, they don't come to that purpose in the same way. Gidud, he says, works because we say good achis, it goes up. Mechitza works, good achis, whatever direction we need it to go. A mechitza works because it's a mechitza. So since the reason that considered halachic mechitzas come for totally different reasons, that's why this mandam says, Eimet starfim. Meisvei asked the Gemara, we learned in a braisa, Shtei chatzeres zulu mal mazul. When we have two chatzeres, and one is higher than the other chatzer, hal yoyne gevayim men atachtoyne asar tfachim, the upper chatzer is 10 tefachim higher than the lower mechitza. Or sheyesh by gidud chamisa, or if you have that it's only 5 tefachim higher, but you have on top of it mechitza chamisa, on top of it you have a mechitza of 5 tefachim. So we've discussed many times when you have two neighboring mechitzas, sometimes they have to make one eruv, sometimes they cannot make one eruv, and sometimes they have an option. Here, when you have this type of a situation, says the Braisim Arvin Shnayim, they have to separate into two Erevin, the Eima Arvinach, they cannot combine, because we have a good Mechitza. Pachs Mikan, but if it's not 10 Tefachim tall, Ma'arvin Echad, they must make one Erev, the Eima Arvin Shnayim, they can't make two separate Eruvim. But what do we see from here? That Gidud Chamisha or Mechitza Chamisha do combine to be considered a valid mechitza. Answers the Gemara, when we're saying this, Amar Rava, Moed Rav Chisda B'Tachtoina. For the person standing on the lower mechitza, he sees in front of him 10 tefachim. And Hoyel, V'Roy Pnei Sara, he sees in front of him 10 tefachim, so he certainly has a mechitza. And when we said that they don't combine, when Rav said they don't combine, that was for the person on the top, because the person on top does not see 10 tefachim. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're understanding the Braisa, that the person on the bottom, for him there's 10 tefachim, so ask the Gemara, techtoina te arav shnayim. The halacha should be that when why does the Braisa say that the two chatzeris have to make two separate eruvim, and they can't make one eruv, techtoina, the bottom one should indeed have to make Tarav Shnayim, have to make two Eruvim. They can't combine with the upper one. V'loi Tarav Echad. And they can't combine, because as we just said, there's a wall of 10 Tefachim here. However, the El Yoyna, Loi Tarav Klal. The upper one should not be able to make any Eruv. Loi Echad. It can't make an Eruv with the bottom one, because the bottom one has a mechitz of 10. V'loi Shnayim, but it can't make its own Eruv, because it doesn't have it's open entirely to an area that it's also to carry to. And since it's open to an area to which it may not, to which it may not carry, as we've discussed so many times, actually, even in this parak, if one area is open to another area to which it may not carry, then you can't make any Erev in that area. Answers the Gemara. The way we need to understand the case of the Braisa is Amar Rabbi Bar Ula, Kigon Shahis El Yoram Gufefes Ad Eser Emes. We have to explain that the upper Chatzar had 10 Tfachim on top of the Gidud. And in the middle of that Mechitza, there was an opening, which was less than 10 Amos, because as we always explain, if it's more than 10 Amos, it's not just an opening. And that opening, they did not have a Mechitza of 10 Tfachim, they only have a Mechitza of 5 Tfachim. That's the way to look at this diagram. And therefore, in such a case, each chatzar can make its own Erev. Why can each chatzar make its own Erev? The bottom chatzar is considered, certainly has a wall of 10 in front of it, so it's certainly considered separate. And the upper chatzar, since it also has primarily a wall of 10 tefachim between it and the lower chatzar, even though there's a breach in that wall, but since, as we just finished explaining, that breach is less than 10 Amos wide, it's only considered a Pesach, and since it's only considered a Pesach, they could still make their own Erev. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if that's the way we're explaining this Braisa, Eima Sefer. Ask the Gemara, let's continue learning the Braisa. Pax Mikan, that if above the Gidud there's a Mechitza, which is less than 10, the 5 Tfachim, the Halach is Ma'arvin Echad, these two Chatzeres have to combine into one Erev, Ve'ei Ma'arvin Shnaim, they may not make separate Eruvim. But why? We just said that the upper Chatzer has a Mechitza of 10 Tfachim, just as an area of a breach. But since it has a Mechitza of 10 Tfachim, why can't that separate it from the bottom Mechitza? You buy high tarav, you buy trey tarav, and should be able to make its own Erev. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Breid Rava. Yes, the upper chatzar has a wall that's 10 tefachim, just in certain areas it isn't. And therefore it's considered indeed enclosed. But let's think about the bottom chatzar. Amar Rav Breid Rava, kigon shenefetzach tachtana b'mloy el yoyna. The bottom chatzar is completely open to the upper one. That's the entire, the bottom one is smaller than the upper one. So the opening is an entire breach of that side. Since that's an entire breach of that side, so that one can't make a chatzar, can't make its own Erev, because it's completely exposed to the upper chatzar. Since it's completely exposed to the upper chatzar, it goes back to the case that we spoke so many times about, chatzar shenifritzu l'chatzar, when it's completely open. And since the bottom one can't make its own Erev, that's why the upper one cannot either. So ask the Gemara, why? The bottom one should make its own Erev. It should have to make an Erev only with the upper one, since as we just finished saying, it's completely exposed to the upper one. Trey, it does not have an option of making its own Erev. It has to combine with the other Chatzar. El Yoyna, the upper one should have a choice. Ibai Trey Tarif, it could say, I have a proper Mechitza between me and the other one. And since I have a proper Mechitza between me and the other one, I could separate myself. Ibai Chat Tarif, it should be able to make one Erev. Says the Gemara Enechinami. You're right. It's only talking about the Tachtoina. The Tachtoina only has one option. The Yoina, indeed, says the Gemara, has two options. Darsh Merema. So Merema says, what's the halacha? Well, we began the sugya. Gidut Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, or Mitztarfin, to be considered a valid Mechitza. Ashkech Ravina L'Rachabrei D'Rava. Amalei. And he asked him, Tani Mar, Midim Mechitza. You're learning Hilchas Mechitza. So he asked them, when you were learning in Yeshiva, Hilchas Mechitza, did you learn anything new about this? Amalei, loy. He said, I don't have anything special to add. V'Hilchasa, but what is the halacha? Gidat Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, when you have an area that's a combination, the Mitztarfin. So there's a very interesting question that the Shara Ephraim discusses. This is in the Shailos HaTshuvos Shaar Ephraim, Siman Lametes. He says that somebody wants to light Hanukkah candles. We know the proper way of lighting Hanukkah candles, the preferable way of lighting Hanukkah candles, is with oil. But this person doesn't have enough oil to use for all the candles. So he wants to light some candles with oil and some candles with regular candles. So he wants to say that our Gemara that discusses the two different types of mechitzas combined, and we had the opinion of Rav, we have opinion that the two different types of mechitzas cannot combine, so too should be the halacha on your menorah. And in fact, he says, that even as we just learned, the Gemara says that we can combine a gidud and a mechitza, we can't combine different type of Hanukkah candles. Why? He explains the whole purpose of lighting Hanukkah candles is for Pesumi Nisa. And it has to be obvious when I'm lighting the menorah that I'm lighting the menorah so for the Pesumi Nisa to commemorate the Nes. When somebody will see a menorah lit in my home with two different types of candle, and therefore no one candle has the proper number of candles that you need to light for tonight, they're going to assume that I'm lighting this menorah because I need illumination in my home. I don't have only oil. I don't have only candles. So I use whatever I can. And therefore, for Hanukkah, different types cannot combine. But he says, when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, when we light candles, so there, just like our Gemara says, the Gidut Chamisha or Mechitza Chamisha combine, so too would be the halacha on lighting candles for Shabbos and Yontif. Because when you're lighting candles for Shabbos and Yontif, your entire purpose of lighting the candles is just to bring illumination to the home, shalom bayis to the home. So what's the difference if they're not the same type? Our Gemara begins a whole new discussion. We've learned that you have to make a Ruva Chatzeris. That's been a very big subject of our Masechta. What happens if your Ruva Chatzeris gets disqualified during Shabbos? Do we say Kimish Hotra Hotra? Once the Erev was good, it's good for the duration of Shabbos, or do we not say it? Boy Rav Chisda, the Yurna Boy B'Shabbos, you had new people that moved into the house on Shabbos. They didn't participate in the Ruva Chatzeris. What's going to be Alocha? Will they disqualify your Erev? Or, another question which we're going to be discussing, when you had two Chatzeris that had a wall in between them, and as we just finished discussing, when you have two Chatzeris with a wall in between, each Chatzer has to make its own Erev, and now on Shabbos, that wall collapsed. And now we have one Chatzer that didn't make an Erev with each other. What would be the Halacha? Amar Chizah Toshma, we learned it now in the Mishnah, on Tav Tzadik Beis Amin Aleph, Chatzer Gdol Shenifetzu L'Ktana, HaGdol Meteres V'Ktana Asura, Neshik Pesach Shel Gadoila, that the smaller one is secondary to the bigger one, but the bigger one is not secondary to the smaller one. The Gemara is assuming now that this happened on Shabbos. And even though it happened on Shabbos, the halachic status changed. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Amar, no, the way to explain the Mishnah is it collapsed during the day already. And that's why we have to look at what was the status before Shabbos. Amar Lei Abaya, so Abaya says to Rabba, Loi Tamer, don't explain Mar Amar, that it happened, that maybe it happened from before Shabbos, but rather the way to explain, you know, as you said, maybe that's Peshat in the Mishnah, but rather the way to understand the Mishnah is Vadai, the way the Mishnah is speaking about a case of Mabai Jayim Rifitzah that it collapsed before Shabbos. The Mahu the Amar, you taught me, Bamine Rav Huna, or Bamine Rav Yehuda, Ir of Derech HaPesach. If you made an error between two chatzeres, because there's a proper door between the two chatzeres, and then nistam haPesach, and then that doorway closed up, or dir of derech haloyim, there's a proper window between two chatzeres, and because of that, you made an error connecting those two chatzeres, for nistam haloyim, and then on the during Shabbos, that window closed up. Now the question is, how do we look at it? Do we say since at erev Shabbos it had the proper opening, it's good, or do we say that now it's not open? And since it's not open, you can't have an Erev connected them. Vomali, and you told me, Shabbos, that the Aloch is, Shabbos Kivin Shehutra Hutra, that once it was Mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains Mutter for the duration of Shabbos. At least in terms of Eruv HaChatzeris, that was good from before Shabbos, will remain good for the duration of Shabbos. There's a very big discussion how far we could apply the concept of Kivan Shotra Hutra. In other words, we use bread to make an Eruv Chatzeres. What's going to be the halacha if the bread is not edible for the duration of Shabbos? So the David Misharim, the Chibina Ravin, the Shals Chuvas Chelik Aleph, Simen Kuf Lam Tes, brings the morel that says that if the bread, when you put it down, was not usable for all of Shabbos, then that bread can't be used for an Erev. We only say Kimisha Hutra Hutra, where potentially it could have been good for the entire Shabbos. But in a situation where it could not have been good for the entire Shabbos, we don't apply the concept of Kimisha Hutra Hutra. Where does this question come up? So the Chelkas Yaakov, and the Shalos Tshuvas Chelkas Yaakov, Oyer Chaim, Simen Kuf Pei Zayin, discusses what Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. So we know, we're not allowed to eat chametz the entire Shabbos. We only can eat chametz until a certain point in the morning. So then you shouldn't use bread to make the Erev for that Shabbos. But says, what about using matzah? We're not supposed to eat matzah that Shabbos either. So since the inyan of not eating matzah is only a minig, so therefore we could be lenient in using matzah for that Shabbos Erev, but we can't use bread for that Shabbos Erev. But the Marash Engel, the Shalos Tshuvas Marash Engel, says that we only have to have that the food that we're using for Erev is edible Bein HaShmoshes. And since Bein HaShmoshes, we may eat chametz, even though as Shabbos will continue, we will not be allowed to eat Shabbos for the duration of Shabbos, it's still considered a valid Erev.